Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you
for your next adventure.
Welcome, Post Session Podcast listeners. We are so stoked to be back at the Cynic recording studio.
Yep. We're getting back to our roots, and we also can't find our big recorder. So here we are in one mic.
Sharing a mic. You'll see on the video. So first, I want to just say welcome to Teresa Kramer, who is with us today. Hey, Teresa.
Hello.
This woman is a surfing physical therapist who really does a lot to keep our local Wrightsville Beach surfers in fit condition and ready to roll.
Awesome. So Teresa is going to be talking to us today about longevity, right? Like lifelong longevity, how to stay all stretched out and how to stay all
lubricated.
Yeah, lubricated, rock and roll. Because, you know, a lot of people don't want to retire from surfing when they're 50.
If you can see this video.
Yeah, this year's too close.
We look like we're about to kiss.
Tongue length apart. Okay. Well, we're hoping to get a few questions answered today. We need Teresa to help us navigate how best to stay primed for action as we get older. We need you to help us decide how to prioritize all the things we already know we should be doing, such as, you know, our diet, eating better, activity level. We know we should be doing something about those things.
Absolutely.
But what's the most important? I don't know. And then, I'm just looking forward to her telling us what to do. I need instructions.
Yeah. I need a list.
Oh, but before we do that, how about some post-session notes?
Yeah. Teresa, do you want to start us off with some post-session notes, which is basically kind of what you've done in the water last week and you've been out?
Well, I've certainly had a little bit of an opportunity to surf last Saturday. I think I went out to three or four different spots before I finally picked a spot.
Nice.
But it was I forget which storm, Hurricane Sam.
Sam.
Yeah, running east of Bermuda. So Sam packed a punch, but not nearly as much as Hurricane Larry. So what I saw most of Wrightsville up and down the beach was long, long 15-second periods and kind of slamming closeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And had friends at different spots, and some friends went up to Topsail and tried to score up there, and other friends went down to South End, and had some other friends, the whole WBLA crowd at Axis 10. And I finally went out there for just a little bit. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to surf much with this, but I'm going to go out and have a social hour.
Sometimes that's just what it is, a social hour.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point? We're not professionals.
No. It is just about being with your peeps, right?
Having a good time.
Yeah. So I've hung out there for a little while. Didn't really catch anything, and then went home to where I live, which is Axis 5, or L Lot is Axis 4 or 5.
She's one of those people, Ashley.
Yes, I live in Wrightsville Beach.
Very blessed to live there. I've lived there for about 30 years, and I've only surfed about 13 years. But I look back at videos of before I was a surfer and notice how beautiful the waves were, and how it never even occurred to me that they were beautiful. So
that's hilarious.
But anyway, I ended up surfing at L Lot and actually had a really great time. It's always a more toned down wave there. And when it's really big everywhere else, that's the place to go. It's kind of the secret spot for
that's a high tide place too, right?
Lately the bank is pretty steep from being carved out from Hurricane
Larry.
So I would not say it's a good high tide spot, but the falling tide and the rising tide and low tide is actually pretty fun now. So I'd say go to Shell for more of a high tide spot.
Ain't no secret no more.
No more.
No, but cat's out of the bag.
But yeah, it's a good big wave spot because it'll be more of a tamed down wave, and it's not as steep and jacked as South End can be. And so.
Cool.
You're going to talk about the storms too, Laurel?
Well, I'm just going to add a little tidbit. Because of the storms, we've had a lot of jellyfish. And this is not the cannonballs that really don't bother you. But these are those clear, gnarly little guys that you feel like you've been electrocuted. When you get hit, you're like, I mean, you cuss a number of words. Mm-hmm. And then it takes about 15 minutes to kind of recover. Sometimes it works as a motivator. I was on the way to the inlet paddling over and I got hit on the arm. And I was having a hard time getting to the actual inlet because there was this sucking tide. So it was pulling me back. It's a little bit of a treadmill. But that gave me the inspiration to paddle like a maniac.
You were like a Looney Tune or something.
Exactly. I was pissed off. And so I just paddled faster than I probably ever paddled. And the next thing I knew, I was in the inlet. And then I guess this time yesterday, this morning, I got stung again. But I want to say to all you people who, I've talked to a few people who are a little scared of getting stung. It does stink. Mm-hmm. And it's an immediate, like, really shocking pain, but it subsides. So don't let that keep you from going out and enjoying the waves.
No, when we're diving, we are taking jellyfish to the face sometimes, just right on the mouth, everywhere. Ew. And you know, little Ani and Cape too. They'll be in there, but if so they can bear it, yeah, don't be a baby about it. Get stung by a jelly and it goes away and everything's cool.
Or you might have a little bit of a scar, so.
Yeah, I did have a really horrible reaction to a jellyfish sting one time. Like my jaws got huge and big and swollen.
Oh, God.
And my lips blistered. It was
gnarly.
Gorgeous.
Ren was so turned on.
Yeah, you can't hide that, you know.
Sunglasses aren't going to be your go-to. Yeah. So how about you, Ash? You got some post-sesh?
Yeah, mine's kind of briefish. I've been out surfing too, which I haven't been surfing since, you know,
5 years ago.
Yeah, like whenever you were trying to teach me to surf and I got pregnant with Cape. So anyway, I've been going a little bit. It kind of tapered once Ani started school or public school started back. But I went with you a few times. I went just with Ren and the kids a few times. I went with Jason Andre a few times. Or yeah, well, once and then twice another time we tried, but it was all closey outy, mm-hmm. which is how I learned what that meant. Because I was out there, it's real windy. Mm. And I just was like, yeah, I had such a great time last time. I'm going to catch this wave easy. I'm a surfer now. And then it just, I'm like, why can't I do it? And Ren goes, you can't do it. You can't catch the wave. There's nowhere to go. And so then I learned about that. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been fun. It's a little intimidating. Well, Jason built it for me. It's 8'4". It's really light. Like when I was surfing on yours, I was having a hard time. And then as soon as I got that one, it was lighter and easier. Mm. It was easier for me to catch the wave. Ren suspects that I'll eventually, you know, when I get better, have a hard time turning that board. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fat in the back, you know. Mm-hmm. It's got some junk in the trunk. But it's purple. That's interesting. Anyway, yeah, it's cool and fun. And
welcome to the clan.
Guess into the mic.
Welcome to the crowd.
Yeah.
Now the in crowd.
Now I need a parking sticker from Teresa so I don't get burned every time I try to go surfing.
Oh. No.
She's not heard that before.
I'm sure of that.
So let's move on to the injustice of the week.
We're weak. Did you bring an injustice of the week, Teresa?
Let me think about that. But
because we have
something that is really gone wrong.
Really getting your goat.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Could be something. I mean, some people bring like these world injustices. Some people are like, oh, my panties are too tight on the, you know, whatever.
Well, yesterday was kind of an off day. I had shown up at the pool to do some aquatic physical therapy, and two out of my three clients just didn't show up that day. And I was just like, what? Because I have to pay to rent the pool. And I'm like, oh, you know.
Oh, so that's wrong.
That Teresa, was that's... usually they're prompt and, you know, ready to go. And I confirmed with them the day before, and I just got stood up. I was like, what?
Girl, you know what? I have a class this weekend. In the last 2 days, we've had four people bail. And, you know, it's fine because they're not getting their money back, but it's kind of a bummer because mm-hmm. you plan around that and mm-hmm. you organize, you know, you got all your parts and pieces. What is it? Flaky yeah. October.
I don't know.
Flaketober.
Yeah. It's just like I try hard. I send them a text the day before. Hey, just confirm me time of day, location, and...
Do they respond? Because, you know, I found, and this would tag along with your injustice, is people don't often respond to a reminder or, you know, like, here's your reminder. Nothing.
Yeah. You know, and maybe they're not the texting type, and I get that. So maybe I drop them a phone call or something else. I usually know if they don't text back. But mm-hmm. yeah. So I think one of them got sick and just didn't let me know till very last minute. Well, I was already in the water. So,
oh, okay. That doesn't count.
Like, dude, you got to call me like hours before.
Do they pay you ahead of time?
No, it's insurance based. So,
oh, yeah. So if they don't go, you don't bill it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if somebody's just a no show, but they paid, it's kind of like, well, oh,
yeah.
That's inconvenient. No sweat. But whatever. Yeah.
That's all right. No, this is, I just roll with it. But just that was kind of a minor irritation. Yesterday. And
well, I think it's just inconsiderate, and maybe that is a little something in our culture that has become more acceptable.
Yeah. And then I left that place, and then something really weird happened. I was heading into the CVS to pick up or drop off an item, and I go to use the bathroom, and I open up the door. There's this naked woman in the bathroom.
I'm like,
this is so wrong. So I shut the door and I'm like, I really don't have to go to the bathroom anymore.
Wait. Okay. So
I'm at the CVS.
Let's back this up just a little bit. Throw it in reverse. Not only was the door not locked.
The door was not locked.
But she was butt naked.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is very wrong. I got to go. I don't have to go to the bathroom anymore.
What is she doing naked in there?
I don't know, but I do be going somewhere else.
Oh my God. So... Flaketober is now streaktober.
No, flaky nakey. Flaky nakey tober. That's weird.
It was weird. So that was like a couple weird things that happened.
I mean, maybe she had an accident and was trying to take care of that mess, but
lock the door.
Yeah, you gotta lock the door.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever been naked in a bathroom at a public bathroom. So
well, the bottom down, if there's something going on, but the top is hard to justify. The top's not required in any of the scenarios I can imagine going to a public bathroom. Maybe she barfed all over herself.
I don't know.
Oh. Well, you definitely don't want to go into that
bathroom. That was probably more of a legit injustice, so...
I don't know. Both of them were pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just weirded out by the second one, though. I'm legitimately... Do you see this look on my face?
Yeah. You're not going to take the kids into the CVS anytime soon.
It's not disgust because the human form grosses me out. There wasn't poop smeared on the walls or whatever. But it's just, what's the mentality? What's going on in the brain if you're butt naked in the CVS? That's what really is getting me.
They were probably picking up a... You know, maybe some medication that would help with that.
Maybe it was a suppository. And they could not figure that out. They tried every angle. They're like, well, this one? No. Well, what about this one? Yeah, the belly button.
Put it under the arm like a thermometer. Okay, let's flush that junk down the toilet.
Yeah, flushing that junk. You want me to... introduce us to dive deeper?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It says my name, so I'll do it.
Follow the directions.
Stick to the script. All right, Teresa, you're a PT and you're here so we can suck as much free information out of you as we can. Woo-hoo. Unpaid. She's here of her own volition. I'm just going to dive right in. You know, I've noticed that when I get out of bed in the morning and my feet hit the floor, we've got a concrete floor, it takes a second to get moving. My feet hit the floor and I'm kind of like hobbling to the potty and I feel like an old person. And I think, what in the, I mean, eventually it works itself out by the time I go to my daughter's room to wake her up. But whoa, you know what I'm talking about?
No idea. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
What do we do?
How do we get rid of that?
Is that old age? What is that? I'm not that old.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because one of my senior clients had said the same thing. You know, she sits for 2 hours at dinner and it's hard to get out of that chair. Mm-hmm. So really what you don't want to do is you don't want to get up and hit the deck fast and then fall right down on the ground.
Boom.
And I encourage her too, is just to maybe do a few stretches before you get out of bed. Maybe pull your knee to your chest if you're laying on your back, or roll your knees side to side, a few ankle circles, and get the parts moving before you load them up into weight bearing.
Oh, that's a good recommendation.
What kind of weight do you think my joints are bearing, Teresa? I'm offended now.
Well, you're at least 100 pounds, Ash, right?
Barely.
Barely.
In my bra.
Well, your joints are probably liking being in the water more than they are on land, so.
Yeah, there's never any discomfort there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way easier.
Yeah.
Well, when you have a board that's heavy, there could be discomfort.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you are really athletic the day before and you've done a big event, like maybe a running race or exerted yourself more than usual, getting out of bed the next day is probably going to be a little more uncomfortable.
Yeah, everything just draws up. It just kind of clank.
Yeah, it gets tight.
Like the Tin Man. Yeah.
But stretching is probably the most underrated thing ever. It is so beneficial. That and using ice. Like nobody wants to use ice, but ice is so helpful for aches and pains and, you know, inflamed areas. And like even my shoulder now, still, I still have to use ice on my shoulder when I go to bed at night. Otherwise it aches and wakes me up at night. So I broke my shoulder in May and on a surf trip in Hawaii.
Not surfing.
And I was land surfing in Hawaii and fell on the pavement and broke my shoulder. So that set me back. But this has been like 5 or 6 months and I wake up with shoulder aching. I was like, what? I don't have any patience for this. So ice pack at night, that helps.
Yeah, that's a bit. I should probably tell Randy to use an ice pack on his knee.
Yeah.
He has a bad knee.
When I had the 2 years of plantar fasciitis, I started doing ice baths for my feet. And I did it for months. I'd do it in the morning and in the evening. I mean, I'd do a little bit of a light jog on my toes and then I'd ice. And then I'd ice before bed. And I do feel like it brought the level of inflammation down. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was a step towards.
Yeah. Healing. And inflammation in your body is really a bad thing. And whether you get inflamed from overexercising or doing something excessively or eating the wrong foods. If your body doesn't like certain foods and you eat the wrong foods, you can get systemic inflammation.
Hormone imbalance.
Yep. All those things that can kind of aggravate your whole system. And so you feel it when you get out of bed the next morning.
Well, I got a question because we're talking about stretching and I hear all kinds of conflicting information about stretching. Like, obviously, everybody's saying it's good. But now when we were kids playing sports, we would do a big stretch circle before we know, did the thing. Right. And now I'm hearing, oh, you don't want to stretch before the activity. You want to stretch after the activity. Can you just tell us the right thing to do?
Sure. You know, if you think about your activity, maybe you're carrying your surfboard, you're loading your board up and you're starting to move around and you're getting ready to go to the beach to surf, and you get down to the beach and you're already heated up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You don't just start with some stretching. Although sometimes it's better, I think, if you get your body heated up doing some kind of activity first, whether it is if you're going to go for a run, maybe you walk a little bit first, jog a little bit first, and then some brief stretches. And then at the end of your session, that's where you delve into some
deeper
stretches, and you'll get the best benefit of gaining flexibility by stretching at the end of your session. But I really think it is important to stretch a little bit in the beginning. Just you want your body heated up, whether you've walked down to the beach with your board and you want to do a few stretches on the beach before you jump in.
So bad news, boys and girls. The answer is stretch twice.
Yep. Do more. But it sounds to me like the final answer is afterwards is when you're going to get the major benefits of flexibility. And before, we warm the car up before we just go 70 miles per hour. Well, right?
That's a good point, because I drive a 50-year-old Chevy truck. I'm 50. And it takes Sundrop a little bit of time to warm up before I take her out of the driveway.
Oh, yeah. Especially those old cars. You got to get the oil all up lubricated in the parts and pieces and everything.
Heat it up.
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Why didn't we have her on months ago? Years ago.
But stretching is so good for you. And there are so many people that have imbalances and flexibility. And that keeps all physical therapists employed, because they're bound to get injured when they have all these imbalances and flexibility. They don't have enough flexibility. And then the muscles tear when they're not stretchy enough.
So how would you best, I think of my husband who runs, he likes to trail run and do it, whatever he does, he doesn't do much stretching, if at all. And so, I mean, for years I've said, okay, and you know, I'll model it, or, you know, we'll do a little bit together, but what would you say to that person who, or how do you convince people of this? Is it once they have an injury?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because in my physical therapy practice, I'd say the majority of our clients are women. Mm-hmm. And women seem to be more interested and better at taking care of themselves.
Maintenance.
Starting with the little aches and pains that pop up instead of waiting till they can't walk. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys seem to have like a little ache or pain, and then they'll keep going and they'll keep going and they'll keep going. They ignore it and they continue on and they further tear things up. And then they roll up in your office, unable to walk and completely in a state of disrepair and expecting, you know, a miracle cure. So, it's just what I've noticed over the years. And I think women tend to take care of themselves a little more so, getting on problems earlier. Mm-hmm. And guys just ignore it and they keep going. Mm-hmm. So
it's because we're so responsible. But I'll say, I'm not sure if I fall into that category, because my big problem is I won't do anything, but I feel like I always think of myself as super fit and capable. So even if I do nothing for like a year, I'll just go out and say, oh yeah, I'm gonna knock out some mileage. Yeah. And then for 3 days, I'm all, oh my God, why did I do that? I don't ease into things usually. I feel like I should always be able to do everything that I've ever done.
The longer I live, the more I realize I'm 21 in my head.
Yeah.
What in the world is a 56-year-old woman doing on a skateboard for the first time in her life in Hawaii, right?
Was it on a downhill slope?
No, it was flat.
Okay, good.
So, skateboards are dangerous.
Yeah.
They are super dangerous.
So...
Oh, man.
You should know better.
It's funny. The three.
I told you.
Three of the five of us that were skateboarding that day, all three of us have had fractures.
Skateboarding?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Skateboarding is not for everybody. Well, I don't think it's for me.
It's so fun. But it is, you know, just fall. Any time where you're doing a sport and you fall on land, that's not good.
Well, that's my motto is
stay in the water.
Stay in the water. Like, at my age, as much as I would love, like when I look at a pump track and I see people skating, I'm like, oh, I want to do that. But when I think about the pain I felt roller skating when my knee got jacked up, I think I'm going to do this one sport, surfing, as long, I'm hoping, into my 80s. And I don't think I'd be, I have more of a risk not being able to do that by doing something like skateboarding.
Yeah, because a skateboard doesn't go on the grass.
No.
I mean, not only is it a landfall, because we can
roll,
we can manage those, right? It's straight up concrete. Yeah. So anyway, can I just move on?
Yeah.
Because there's something else I want to ask you about. When I look at Laurel's stoked to talk about this next group of things. When I look at studies and things that discuss why some communities kind of live longer than others, there's some themes. And one we'll discuss later, to Laurel's chagrin. But right now, I want to talk about this, like, this podcast that I recently listened to that said some children alive today could live upwards of 150 years. It could be total nonsense, but this is what I heard on a podcast recently.
Can't believe everything you hear on a podcast.
What? Right. That's what I'm asking Teresa. So, I mean, is that something that is true?
I have not heard that, but I have, you know, studied and read the Blue Zone books, mm-hmm. Where clients live well over 100. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. And I think a huge part of it, I look at what we do with our seniors, and some people just kind of end up in the nursing home and they live maybe 2 years.
Not long.
And what happens sometimes with, I think, why people who might still be 21 in their head and now they're in the nursing home, maybe they're not around their families and they've lost that community connection. They've lost that family connection. A lot of the Blue Zone seniors are living in their community alongside their family members, and they're still an active part of their community, and they're still needed, and they have their little social get-togethers, whether they're little senior ladies getting together to play bridge or taking a little Tai Chi class or whatever. But that is such an important component. And what we saw with COVID over the last 2 years is isolation is the greatest way to kill people. Wow. I just think that would make me lose my incentive to live. And if I had to be isolated from my family and I couldn't be near them and I didn't maybe understand how to use a computer to do Zoom calls and so forth. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I agree. And I think too that it's not just life that we're after, but meaning in life. And when you feel like your family doesn't necessarily need you to contribute, mm-hmm. you're antiquated, mm-hmm. you're not viable anymore. That's a killer.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Nobody wants to be a burden to anyone, and to have an active role in their family is great. But the Blue Zone seniors, like there's different communities, different pockets around the world. And I think one's in Costa Rica and mm-hmm. one is in maybe Sardinia, Italy or somewhere.
Are they all tropical?
There's one in California, that's one in tropical. Japan.
I forget the California one. It's
up north just a little bit, I think. But the draw there, if I remember correctly, was spirituality. They used them, that particular Blue Zone community, to reinforce that spirituality and people that are involved in a spiritual practice mm-hmm. tend to live longer. Do you remember that?
I do. And the whole community is a certain religion. I'm trying to remember that. Yeah. It's not Christian Science, but it's
maybe Seventh-day Adventist.
Seventh-day Adventist. That's it. Yeah. And they are strict vegetarians.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a healthy lifestyle, active lifestyle.
Yeah. Their diet is important. It's mm-hmm. definitely part of their practice.
And the Mediterranean diet has been known to help with longevity too. So
pasta. Did someone say pasta?
Bread?
Olive oil, I think.
Olive oil. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The thing you dip the bread in. I gotcha. I'm down for that.
And just fresh ingredients. Cooking with fresh ingredients is so important.
That versus fast food lifestyle that's diabetes, right?
Mm-hmm. All the preservatives and...
Preservatives.
We don't even know what's in our food unless you make it.
Yeah, if you're buying it out, you don't know what's in it.
Well, listen, Garden Queen and I here, you've got the whole Garden of Eden back here with all the fresh produce.
Well, we've got some, but it takes a lot of diligence to use what's in the garden and not just, I'd say, Ashley, you've taught me the simplicity of just taking there's a million peppers, throwing them in salt and pepper and a little olive oil and roasting them in the toaster oven or in the oven. I mean, I thought I had to make something else to eat them. And so you really gifted me with that. Thanks.
Yeah, you owe me. It's true. You don't need a recipe. You don't need a recipe for everything. Sometimes the vegetables do the talking and you just do the
walking or the walking.
Well, oh, I get it. Yeah, that's a good pun. That is a super decent pun. Welcome. Vegetables do the talking, you do the walking. Well, you know, we're already here, Laurel. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
We talk about diet a lot because, you know, we're women that we're, you know, probably have unhealthy body images.
Off and on.
Off and on. Yeah. And yeah, Laurel did not want to talk about diet, but I think it's critical if we're going to talk about longevity. But there's a lot of people out there, including myself, who are kind of paralyzed into inaction when it comes to figuring out what to do. Because basically, my favorite diet Bible was Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma, because he has these three sentences that are so, I'm off script. He has these three sentences that are just so simple. It says, eat food, meaning like real food, not processed stuff. Eat food. Mostly vegetables, not too much. I may have that out of order. But anyway, it just seemed like the most basic advice you could give somebody. And it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Eat real food, mostly vegetables. Don't eat too much of it. But anyway, there's just so many fad diets. And there's, you know, keto this and low carb that. And I don't know. What do you think?
What do you think, Teresa?
Gosh. Well, I'm not a nutritionist, but I have studied a lot of my own diet and basic nutrition needs, and to try to figure out what gets me out of bed without hurting. You can have too much of a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if your portion control, and our plates sometimes are too big, portion control is huge. Putting too much pie in the pie hole is not going to fix any problem, no matter how healthy the food is. You want to use portion control. You want to eat frequently throughout the day. They recommend 6 times a day, small portions, and not to sit down and have a huge meal at 10 o'clock at night, which I am very guilty of with my family. My husband works late and we value family time, and inevitably we end up sitting down as 9 o'clock dinner time.
I'm sure your body adjusts to that rhythm though.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I think your biggest meal should be midday, but smaller portions. And, you know, whether you choose to eat protein or animal-based products or not, just is what is healthy for your body and what your body feels it needs. So I have friends who eat a lot more meat than they do vegetables. I have friends who are vegetarian. I have friends who are vegan, pescatarian, and so forth. And I think the most important thing is looking at your own food tolerances and food intolerances. And you may not be technically allergic to anything. Like if you had the skin prick test on your back at an allergist, those all might be negative. But there might be foods that cause inflammation in your body. And I kind of stumbled across this whole food inflammatory thing, not irritable bowel syndrome, but leaky gut syndrome and all that. And I started reading more about it in my early 50s and was having some other issues and somehow figured out that I was having food intolerances. So when I was doing testing to rule things out, my blood test came back that I was intolerant to, but not allergic to gluten, dairy, egg, and soy were my biggest ones.
That sounds, excuse me, that sounds like a list for everybody.
It's not a great list. I don't wish this list on anybody. Yeah. But if you want to eat healthy, you take the donuts and the cakes and the things that have gluten, dairy, egg, and too much soy, I think, can cause some inflammation in people's bodies. And the thing I found out in doing, I did an elimination diet where I took the 7 major food allergens out, nuts and shellfish and gluten, dairy, egg, soy. And I took the 7 major food allergens out of my diet. And in 4 days, I was pain-free and I could sit for hours and I could get out of bed and it didn't hurt. And so I thought, wow, I wonder how many of my clients are getting their knees replaced, mm-hmm. have food intolerances that have caused inflammation in their joints.
Mm-hmm. I need to bring this up to my mother because she has lupus. And of course, lupus is
an autoimmune
disorder, right, that creates a ton of inflammation in the mm-hmm. body. And I think that gluten is kind of an obvious one mm-hmm. for probably everybody, but and in varying degrees, obviously. But there are some other ones like the nuts. I would never think to stop eating nuts.
Yeah. It just depends what your specific, what you in your body reacts to. And you can find that out by doing a blood test just to figure out your sensitivity and certain things you might be slightly sensitive to. And
you may want to, maybe you can't cut it all out, but maybe you can
limit it.
You could have one a day as opposed to a meal that's all 5 ingredients you're right. sensitive to.
Right.
So I could see that as opposed to maybe eliminating everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to be sensible about it and you have to pick and choose your battles for the day.
No cheese.
No
ever?
Cheese. Come on, cashew man. Queso is the bomb.
Yeah. Cashew. I will
cashew
say.
Cashew queso. I did Miyoko have, cheeses are great.
The cashew will, it's shockingly tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's ways to modify everything.
Yeah.
You know, cutting out eggs out of your diet is another one that's pretty hard. But I made some cookies the other day that were filled with nuts and figs and dates and plums and all these dried fruits, raisins mm-hmm. and walnuts and flaxseed ground up. And
she didn't mention chocolate, though.
But I did. I actually used Enjoy Life chocolate, which is a rice milk based.
Yeah.
Chocolate and I had chocolate in there and I had some today and I'm going to eat these cookies for a long time, but they're the best cookies. And I, instead of using an egg in the cookie dough batter, mm-hmm. I used a Bob's Red Mill egg replacer and you take 1 tablespoon of that and you mix it with 2 tablespoons of water. You mix it up. That equals 1 egg. Okay. I can figure that out. So
easy enough,
you know, if my body does not like eggs, I'm just going to use this egg replacer. And I'll use the same thing with, you know, butter. Butter's not dairy, so butter is dairy, so use a replacer.
I guess you could use a banana to bind things too, but then it's going to be real sweet.
One thing I remember trying to, you know, like the bad things that you would eat, like a Snicker bar or something, a date filled with peanut butter or almond butter or cashew butter, dipped in a little dark chocolate.
Perfect.
It is a candy bar.
It is. It's delicious.
Yeah. I ate 3 of those things today, except you didn't dip it in chocolate.
I didn't dip it in chocolate.
Yeah, but those things are so delicious.
Well, as we're right on towards the end of our time, so I do want to skip on into the Devo or drift on into the spiritual waters.
No, we're going to tread on into God waters. That's how we say it, Laurel.
It's been a long time. But, you know, we were talking about food and, you know, one of the kind of popular diets is the intermittent fasting. And I've definitely seen, for me, I've been able to decrease thyroid medicine. Like, I don't need as much. So that's been something that I felt like was a encouragement to give that a try. But in talking about what we are, the longevity of life, when we think about not just our physical bodies, but also our spiritual bodies, it talks a lot in the Bible about fasting. And there's a lot of different reasons to fast. Maybe you're going through something and you want to draw near to the Lord, or maybe you're praying for someone else, but it doesn't have to be food. It could be fasting social media. It could be, there's something to be said for denying yourself for a period of time, whether it's food,
surfing.
Surfing. Before I got baptized as an adult, I fasted surfing for a week, and I feel like God blessed that time. I remember him not speaking to me audibly, but spoke in my heart, like gave me a word that has defined my life in some ways during that time. So it was profitable in more than one way, but I would like to hear y'all's opinion. Have you ever fasted, Teresa?
I have. You know, I feel like doing that elimination diet for 7 weeks and doing my regular diet is a way of fasting. But
yeah.
I love food. Fasting. I hate to be hungry. And so I am not very good at fasting. So I definitely can stick to my diet, but I love to snack on things that are healthy for me. So I associate fasting with being hungry. And
yeah, well, that's a bummer.
I don't know about that. But I can definitely say that you know, doing cleanses and mm-hmm. things of that nature are certainly beneficial. You mentioned lupus earlier. There's a lot of information out there and books out there. There's a physician who has lupus and has written a book, and I will have to look it up for you and share it with you. But you can you can put your lupus not on hold, but into remission. By following a certain type of diet. She recommended a raw foods diet, and that was one way that she was able to put her lupus into almost a permanent remission. And I can get you that information later. But
well, I'd love to read it, and then I'd love to give my mom the Cliff's Notes. She will hate the idea of a raw food diet. But she may be willing to make some small adjustments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be full on like this woman, but if she could eat raw during the day or most of the meals, or it's got to help, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got to help.
But if I had lupus, I would be doing raw food diet. Mm-hmm. That's a tough disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It can be tough. You're right.
Especially if it affects your lungs in the COVID world. Mm-hmm. It's very tricky. So
I think, you'll get me that, right?
Yes, I will. Okay.
I'm kind of ashamed that I've done intermittent fasting and this kind of thing, but I've never done a full on fast because like Teresa, I'm so scared of being hungry because I turn into a monster, but I'm also very food obsessed. Like it's on my mind a lot. And I'm thinking it's probably exactly what I need to do to just.
I think I would start, like, if you wanted to do a fast, I don't recommend it. Like, if for you, you're already in a fasted lifestyle because of the food that you're not eating, Teresa. Mm-hmm. And Ashley, it could be I'm a 24 hour. I'm not going to have a glass of wine. I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm going to not look at my phone, you know, or, you know, only for a call or a text or something. It doesn't have to be. But the purpose behind that is kind of a surrendering of something that is, you know, that our. Go ahead.
Surrendering something that's replacing God or holding the place where God might dwell if. It wasn't full of this other junk, right?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. Okay, maybe a little bit. But more than that is when we deny ourselves something, then we are going to look for something to fill that. So it's kind of like a little, almost like a little pinch of, ow, oh, what can I look to fill that need? And sometimes we over need maybe food or ice cream or whatever. And so taking an intentional, you know, break from sun up to sundown or whatever it is that you, when I think about having chocolate or when I think about having something sweet or a glass of wine tonight, instead, I'm going to spend some time in the Word of God or in prayer or praying for somebody who's sick or whatever it is. And I believe God honors that sacrifice in a special way. And not that you have to do that, but it's your choice. And I believe God honors you choosing to commune with Him and maybe cut something out that you would normally do to meet with Him or prayerfully ask for or whatever it is. So I guess that's Absolutely. How I would explain it.
Yeah, she nailed it. But, you know, the thing is, for me, I like a real challenge. So I'm thinking like, I'm not all
40 day.
Yeah, right. I'm not all in unless I'm doing it Ramadan style or whatever. I'm like really denying myself. I want to feel hungry and pain, right? So I know it's working.
That's why you've done it, right?
That's why I haven't done it. But yeah, I would be looking for those hunger pangs and I would be letting them eat at my brain. And then I would be saying, wait, that's right. I'm supposed to be praying right now instead. Dear Lord, please tell me it's okay to eat that pizza.
I love how you mentioned how you fill it with other voids. I'm chronically known as just a massive consumer of Skinny Pop because there's hardly anything in there you can be allergic to or intolerant to. So
yeah.
Because I can't have bread and because I can't have a lot of other things, I like consume a lot of Skinny Pop.
Popcorn.
And it's just
it's good.
It's so good.
Well, we want to wrap it up. And I want to thank Teresa. And the name of her physical therapist's office is PT by the Sea. She's right off Wrightsville Beach. They have a number of wonderful physical therapists. They offer aquatic therapy. They have a gym. Mm-hmm. And
we also, I'm also a holy yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. It's Christ-centered alignment-based yoga. And I'm also a Pilates instructor. So we have reformers and we teach a lot of alignment-based Pilates. And we have deep tissue laser for pain issues. And
so they're going to get you whatever's hurting. They're going to set you up at PT by the Sea.
Oh, bummer. You're going to be mad at me, but we never even talked about sciatic pain and your
BIA.
Specialty.
Well, wait, we'll have to have her another time and you can talk to her about it after our podcast.
After the podcast. Yeah, okay. So thank you all for joining us today. Sorry if you're watching the video and you see how weird it turned out because we're so close in proximity to each other. Buy us a coffee.
Yeah.
Be a patron.
Go to Instagram.
Say it in the mic.
Go visit us at Instagram and see what we're up to.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hasta luego. Thank you, Teresa.